KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:07, we have partly cloudy skies, 6 degrees below zero in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with a chance of snow later this afternoon, a high around 16. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with a check of news here on KJAN. A computer-oriented scam was once again making the rounds in the KJAN listening area. Officials of the Audubon Police Department say they've received multiple reports about a computer repair scam. The victims receive a phone call from a person identifying themselves as a computer technician. The technician indicates they're calling because the victim has computer problems and tricks the victim into letting them have remote access to their personal computer. The technician will then advise you that you have multiple viruses and demands payment. If you refuse, the technician will change your password and lock you out until the amount is paid. This is a scam, and this is a reminder to everyone never to allow someone remote access to your computer unless you can confirm it is a reputable company and you initiated the contact. Officials say you should contact your local law enforcement agency if you think you've become the victim of this scam. The Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening agreed to commit funds toward the construction of a trail around Lake Number 2 at the Shilberg Recreation Area. Prior to passing a motion in support of the project, the council heard from Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department Director Roger Herring, who explained why the amount they're asking for is less than what was originally planned.
The cost of the trail with engineering would be $134,000. A TAP grant asked for city / sponsor commit to 20% of that total cost, which is less than what was on your agenda. On your agenda, it said $31,000. The commitment here would be 20% of that 134 is 26.8. The Park Board and the Park and Rec Department would ask the council for the commitment of $26,800 towards the completion of Lake Number 2. With that commission, I can go forward and put the TAP application in, knowing that the city would be able to sponsor that and back that 20%.
The $26,800 is $4,200 less than what had expected to be committed. The city's portion can consist of a local batch of labor used to build a portion of the trail around Lake Number 2, in addition to or in lieu of funding.
Originally, when Snyder's did our original estimate, and this was a year and a half ago, and that was prior to the Nishna Valley trails coming in and everything else, that cost, that 154 cost, was actually for that connector trail from where they come together up there all the way down to the other existing trail. So Nishna Valley Trails has already asked for their portion of that. I'm trying to think. I think that's about 600 feet that was taken off of that.
In other business, the council held a public hearing on the sale of Lot A in the Southern Heights subdivision, second edition. Land was appraised at, and after a public hearing, sold for $1,620 to local developer Don Sontag, who had originally donated the land to the city for redevelopment, or development, that is, of a street, the plans for which were later shelved. Iowa code requires the land to be sold and not returned to a private party free of charge. The council also set March the 4th as the date for a public hearing on the adoption of the proposed fiscal year 2016 capital improvement plan, a hearing on the proposed sale of $1.5 million in general obligation bonds for the CIP, and adoption of the proposed fiscal year 2016 budget. City officials in Atlantic are preparing for a disruption in traffic flow on Highway 6 or 7th Street from Olive Street eastward to just past the Burger King restaurant. Interim City Administrator John Lund said during Wednesday night's City Council meeting that he spoke with officials with the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce about being proactive and trying to help businesses affected by the impending road closure.
We're going to set up a date and get things organized so that the businesses that are impacted by Highway 6 will have a plan where they can put up signage, change routes, things like that. So that's on our radar. We're going to get that taken care of and be proactive about it.
The city has discussed waiving sign permits for businesses affected by the changes. Lund said it appears right now that once the road is blocked, a potential detour route in town might be 10th Street, but that remains to be seen. The Iowa DOT has said heavy traffic would be detoured during construction using Iowa 83, Highway 173, Interstate 80, and U.S. Highway 71. And Mayor Dave Jones says he's heard the DOT would route truck traffic to Highway 92, but that would still leave area residents, especially farmers, scrambling to find a way into and out of town.
Some of the concerns I've heard from other people were our farmers out on the east side of town need to start making plans now. It can be very tough bringing stuff in. It's July and August, so if they get stuff done beforehand or after, it'd be nice. But that can be a long way around everything.
Work on the project was expected to take about 2 months. Will begin later this spring or early summer. In other business, Councilman Chris Jerison updated the council on the upcoming e-recycling program.
May 9th will be the e-recycling. That will be held down at the depot. $6,000 is what's going to be funded. CPC is going to fund half of that. The other half is coming from the county. We'll do it from 8 o'clock to 4 p.m.
And taking a look at our funeral announcements here on KJAN, Zane Michael Dolph, age 18, of Griswold, died Sunday at the Manning Regional Health Care Center. Funeral services for Zane Dolph will be held today at 10:30 at the Nelson Boylan Lorette Funeral Chapel in Red Oak. Betty Huddleston, age 86, of Fontenelle, died Sunday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Betty Huddleston will be today at 10:30 at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Clifford Albright, age 94, of Guthrie Center, died Monday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Cliff Albright will be on Friday today at, at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Jim Maycomber, age 80, of Manila, died November the 5th in an auto accident. Funeral services for Jim Maycomber will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Kimberly Ann Wolfe, age 49, of Stewart, died Saturday at Mercy Hospice in Johnston. A celebration of life service for Kimberly Wolfe will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart, with a luncheon to immediately follow the service at the church. Johnston Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Mary J. Shelton, age 81, of Erling and formerly of Harlan, died Sunday at the Little Flower Haven Nursing Home in Erling. Funeral services for Mary Shelton will be on Friday at 2 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Betty Mae Brandstetter, age 84, of Harlan, died Monday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Betty Mae Brandstetter will be on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Margaret Means, age 93, of Cedar Rapids and formerly of Manila, died January 19th. Graveside funeral services for Margaret Means will be Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Nishnabatna Cemetery near Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. And Harlan Northrup, age 76, of Griswold, died Monday. A gathering of family and friends of Harlan Northrup will be held on Saturday from 5 until 9 p.m. at the Griswold Community Building, with the Cattlemen's Association serving a catered meal. You may come and go as you please. Doon Funeral Home in Griswold is in charge of the arrangements. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements this hour on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.